Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I pulled this story yesterday and I didn't get to it because that's... You'd be amazed how much show prep I've actually... I have a stack that's over here. It's probably about an... It's a little bit less than an inch thick. And I get to maybe like 12 sheets of paper out of it. That's my burn rate. Anyway, see, because I spend time talking about stuff like this, it's totally irrelevant. I apologize. Let me get to it. Yesterday, I pulled some stories on the NPR... the continuing fallout over at National Public Radio, and the fallout over Yuri Berliner or Berliner. I like Yuri Berliner, because otherwise it sounds like I'm saying Berliner, which then kind of conjures up the JFK quote, which actually said I'm a jelly donut or something. And so anyway, I'm just trying to avoid that sort of national humiliation. So I want to call him Berliner, but I don't know if that's how he pronounces it, but that's how I'm pronouncing it. The respected editor, Yuri Berliner. And he put out that piece the other day, last week, and I read large portions of it. And he went through several examples of how the coverage at NPR has been blinkered by its internal bias. And that is based on a political philosophy, and that is also seen in its, like, the D.C. Bureau, where he went and pulled everybody's voter registration and found that there are 87 Democrats and zero Republicans. And that does not make a diverse newsroom. And that was his point, that there are stories that we have missed as an organization because of our blinders. And in one case, we refused to even cover one of them. I think it was the Hunter Biden laptop story. So, and by the way, when people try to make the analogy between NPR and their bias, and they try to like come over and say, well, that's, you know, same thing as, you know, what you do, Pete, this is news talk radio and conservative talk radio, and you guys do the same thing. So there are some differences. And I say this as one who grew up listening to NPR, which has taken a turn in the last like 10 years or so. And that's what Yuri Berliner was writing about, that things are different now. And it is it's due to progressivism, because it's a cancer. This political philosophy, this Marxist-inspired philosophy, is a cancer. It will destroy whatever institution it takes root in. Okay? By the way, I will be getting to this. We're going to do this, the first phase of it will start tomorrow. The Methodist Church is in the process of imploding, and they're coming to Charlotte in a couple of days for their quadrennial general conference. They're having the big meeting of all of the Methodists, and they're going to be voting on what they call their book of discipline. And they're basically, they're caving to the progressive wing inside their party that has been fighting the conservative wing for several decades. And the conservatives finally said, you know what, we're out. And they are disaffiliating. And so the United Methodist Church is lost. It is lost. And so we'll get into that. But it's the same dynamic. It's the same dynamic that is happening in K-12 education, right? This is the long march through the institutions. The institutions are media. The institutions are schools. The institutions are churches. Because the whole point is, you affect and you change the course of the culture, because politics is downstream of culture. So you take over the institutions, you infect them with this radical activism that's Marxist in nature, and you pit people against one another, because again, Marxism is just about tearing down. It doesn't build anything. It destroys. That's why I call it a cancer. It's an infection. So this cancer has infected NPR. And I think it might be a terminal case. NPR CEO Catherine Marr has responded now to, well, first, this was the other day. So this was on the 14th. This was over the weekend where I saw the story and I was going to do it yesterday, but I didn't because I ran my mouth too long like I'm doing right now. But she responded to Uri Berliner's column and appeared in that column to confirm everything that he was alleging, and that she has no intention to bring greater balance to its coverage or its editorial staff. Berliner, this is from, by the way, Jonathan Turley, writing at his blog, jonathanturley.org. Berliner detailed the complete exclusion of any Republicans among the editors of NPR's Washington office and various examples of raw bias in favor of Democratic narratives and claims. By the way, Berliner is no conservative, okay? Marr then responds to exactly none of those specific points in any kind of substance. She just ignores it. She deflects. Instead, she attacks Berliner as profoundly disrespectful, hurtful, and demeaning to his colleagues by calling out the company for its political bias. In a memo on Friday, she told staff that Berliner attacked not only the quality of our editorial process and the integrity of our journalists, but our people on the basis of who we are. There is an acronym called DARVO. Have you ever heard this before? DARVO? It's not the thing that dogs get. Okay? That's PARVO. This is DARVO. And it stands for deny, attack, and then the RVO is reverse victim and offender. DARVO. Deny. Okay? So what does she do? What does Marr do here? She says, this is not the case. His accusations are not true. She does not rebut them. She does not provide any evidence of why they are not true, but she denies that they are true. She then attacks him, calling him his comments were profoundly disrespectful and hurtful and demeaning, and that he attacked not only the quality of the editorial process and the integrity of our journalists, but, reverse victim and offender, he attacked our people on the basis of who we are, right? So there's your reversal. This is what narcissists do. DARVO, right? This is how they turn any kind of critique about how they are behaving, how they are harming, how they are stringing you along, how they are hurting you, right? And when you confront them, narcissists engage in this DARVO activity. Deny, attack, reverse victim and offender. Marr offered spin when she suggested falsely that Berliner was somehow opposed to a diverse workplace, right? So here's your classic progressive response, saying it is deeply simplistic to assert that the diversity of America can be reduced to any particular set of beliefs, and faulty reasoning to infer that identity is determinative of one's thoughts or political leanings. Each of our colleagues are here because they are excellent, accomplished professionals with an intense commitment to our work. We are stronger because of the work we do together. We owe each other our utmost respect. We fulfill our mission best when we look and sound like the country we serve. We fulfill our mission best when we look and sound like the country we serve. But what was his criticism? When it came to a lack of diversity, what was he saying? Not, it didn't have anything to do with the way people looked. It didn't have anything to do with the way people, I guess, sounded, if she's talking about some sort of a racialized dialect kind of sound. Because honestly, that's not even true, because it's NPR and every single one of them's got vocal fry over there. So they all sound the same. I'll talk like that. The vocal fry. Just like all of the, if you need a good example, I won't tell you to go listen to it. I'll just tell you, go check out some of the, like the Bachelorette reality shows. Because like all the young, it's like all the young girls, they all talk with the vocal fry. Anyway, and a lot of young guys do too. I do not understand it, but they do. So his criticism, though, was that they do not represent the diversity of American political thought or philosophical thought or religious thought. That's the problem that is afflicting NPR. And this new CEO's response is to say, no, it's not true. We fulfill our mission when we look like the rest of the country. But that's exactly what he's saying is the false sense of diversity. You're not finding out why you're losing people who are centrist, Latino, Black, Republicans, like all of these different groups. You're losing because you're not speaking to them. You're speaking with one homogenized voice of awfuls, affluent white female liberals who want to hear bump tunes of the Himalayan throat callers rather than, you know, some Black Keys. All righty, so the new chief of NPR put out a statement after Yuri Berliner criticized the radio network for its blinkered progressivism. Shannon Thaler at the New York Post reassembled Mars deleted postings from Twitter. This was the other thing. She has a bit of a history, shall we say, on the Twitter machine. She's never held a position in media, as far as I know. She's been at various other agencies, nonprofits, and management, and that sort of stuff. But she has always been a progressive. She's been a partisan. She wrote about one tweet where it was like she had a dream about eating nuts with Kamala Harris. I'm just relaying the information, okay? Shannon Thaler at New York Post found some more of her deleted postings, including a 2018 declaration that Donald Trump is a racist. She also had a statement that appeared to excuse all of the looting during the summer of fiery but mostly peaceful expressions of disapproval. She's also quoted as saying that white silence is complicity. She has described her own, quote, hysteric white woman voice. She also stated, quote, I was taught to do it. I have done it. It's a disturbing recognition. While I don't recall ever using it to deliberately expose another person to immediate physical harm on my own cognizance, it's not impossible. That is whiteness. I got a feeling like that was after. Remember that woman in the park who was yelling hysterically at the bird watching guy? And they called the cops and all that, and he was recording the whole thing, and then that woman's life got destroyed. I think this might have been what she was responding to. Like, everything, because this woman, okay, look, I'm not a psychiatrist. I have zero training on this at all, but I feel like she's a narcissist. Every single thing that she's, like, all these tweets, it's all about turning the focus back to her and this fake signaling to, you know, people, to the others, that, like, I recognize this. And by recognizing this about my whiteness, I'm better than all of the other white people. And I'm also better than you. Right? Like, that's the vibe in all of these types of. She says, I grew up feeling superior. Ha! How white of me. Because I was from New England and my part of the country didn't have slaves, or so I'd been taught. What? You grew up thinking you were superior because New Englanders didn't have slaves. I'm sorry, did you not have slaves? Did you have slaves? Like, did, like, the neighbor down the street have some slaves at one point, but got rid of them or something? Like, that has nothing to do with you. But here she is. She makes it about herself. All right, so the head of NPR is exactly who you would expect her to be. And, oh, by the way, after she put out the statement, this would have been on Friday, NPR put out the statement saying essentially, nuh-uh, you're a bad person, Yuri Berliner. They suspended him. They suspended him without pay for 5 days. The public radio network is grappling in other ways with the fallout from Berliner's essay for the online news site The Free Press. It angered many of his colleagues, led NPR leaders to announce monthly internal reviews of the network's coverage, and it gave fresh ammo to conservative and partisan Republican critics of NPR, including former President Donald Trump. Yes. That really is the issue here. Ammo for the right, right? Because in the culture war, you don't shoot your own, Yuri. Come on, man. Conservative activist Christopher Rufo is among those now targeting NPR's new CEO, Catherine Marr, for messages that she posted to social media years before joining the network. Among others, those posts include a 2020 tweet that called Trump racist and another that appeared to minimize rioting during social justice protests. What else? How about this one? 2018. She says, that Silicon Valley versus Russia thread was pretty funny until it got onto ideological diversity. In case it's not evident, in these parts, when you say ideological diversity, that's often a dog whistle for anti-feminist, anti-POC, or people of color, anti-POC stories about meritocracy. Maybe it's not what the author meant, but I don't know. Maybe it is. She has Christmas ornaments. She says that function as visual puns. Oh, look how cute. A dumpster fire of 2016. Oh, so brave. I've stopped using this one. Apparently, what is this thing? No ban, no wall. This is crazy. She's got, it's a protest sign. She's got a bunch of protest signs. And this one says, this is crazy. And she says, I've stopped using this one because it's ableist. this is their new. Yeah, this is the woman that's going to right the ship that Yuri Berliner says is lilting to the, was it lilting or listing? Listing. Listing to the left, right? Berliner provided a copy. By the way, I'm reading here. This is from the NPR website by David Folkenflik. And Berliner provided me a copy with the formal rebuke from his bosses. NPR would not confirm or comment. In presenting Berliner's suspension, the organization told the editor that he had failed to secure its approval for outside work for other news outlets, as is required of NPR journalists. It called the letter a final warning, saying Berliner would be fired if he violated NPR's policy again. Berliner is a dues-paying member of NPR's newsroom union, but says he's not appealing the punishment. The Free Press is a website that has become a haven for journalists who believe that mainstream media outlets have become too liberal, which, by the way, that is false. It's not too liberal. It's too illiberal. Illiberal. You become too biased and progressive. You are illiberal. You do not allow other people to have different opinions about things. Berliner said he did not get permission from NPR to speak with, NPR for this story. But he said he's not worried about any consequences here. He said, quote, talking to an NPR journalist and being fired for that would be extraordinary, I think. It would. It would. And I suspect it could happen. This is, David Marcus, a writer, and I think he's a playwright also in New York. He says, I'm starting to think that the head of NPR doesn't actually exist. And she is, in fact, just generated by AI. Which is possible. And Jeff Blair, who's a writer for various publications like the National Review among them, he says this is the he also does Political Beats, the podcast. He says this is the best I have seen yet at summarizing just how weird it is to see all of these old tweets from this Katie Marr lady. Every single stereotype is displayed in these tweets. Every single imaginable woke stereotype possible, up to and including cis white mobility privilege. She literally says this, that she has cis white mobility privilege because she can move around. And the reason she can move around is because she's white, apparently. So this is news to me. I was not aware that that non-white people cannot travel in America. I was not aware of that, which is weird because I have friends and neighbors. They do a lot. They travel more than I do. Well, hang on. But they're Hispanic. So they're not, maybe they're one of those white Hispanics. Do people even hear what you sound like? Like in your raging fight, right, to punch Nazis and out all the racists. You guys are sounding like racists. Holy smokes. Oliver Darcy at CNN. NPR is still in the thick of it. After Yuri Berliner's scathing essay last week, the outlet's chief executive, Catherine Marr, is facing criticism from the right over old tweets skewering Trump. NPR spokesperson Isabel Lara dismissed the attacks, which have been fueled by right-wing activist Christopher Rufo, saying Marr was, quote, not working in journalism at the time. So this is totally fine. Right. So that makes her the right person to right the ship, of course. She has all of the right opinions, but she wasn't working in journalism at the time, where those opinions would be more problematic. But now that she's getting into the journalisming, now none of those things matter. Her ideas, her ideology, her philosophy, none of that stuff matters. Don't worry at all about any of that. She was going to get a COVID test. And she said, quote, I love this little prompt of inclusion. And she takes a picture and says, for the Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi where she's getting her COVID shot, it says the network's name, one medical guest, and the password is he, she, they. Oh, my God, I feel so safe here. That's what she says. Yeah, there's her. This is crazy. It's so strange to be called a Biden supporter, she says. I'm a supporter of human rights, dignity, and justice. Well, that's obviously the same thing, right? I mean, this is the right person to right the ship. She's walking in, eyes wide open to all the potential biases of progressives. By the way, here's the other one. I had a dream where Kamala and I were on a road trip in an unspecified location, sampling and comparing nuts and baklava from roadside stands. My God, she even dreams in woke. She says, woke up very hungry. Yikes. It's just awful. I'm sure she'll do a fantastic job at NPR. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Let me go over here to Ralph. Hello, Ralph. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Pete. Good afternoon. As a person that was baptized as a Methodist, I feel obligated to call in and stand up for the denomination. At least the Methodists will speak to you in the liquor store. The Baptists will do the double walk. They're 6 feet tall, and then all of a sudden they're 3.5 feet. They're stuck around the vodka.
I literally was telling somebody in the parking lot this very joke today. The joke is that Jews do not recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Protestants do not recognize Mary as like the assumed into heaven, right? Something like that. And then Baptists don't recognize each other in a liquor store or a strip club, matter.
But being truthful, though, we were a member of our church. We attended a church up where I live. And about 15 years ago, that's when it started really, you could tell the progressiveness, started. There was members of that church of generations of families that had went to that church, and they just caused it to implode. And all those generational families that started that church, 70, 80, 100 years ago, are no longer there.
Yeah. No, the point is destruction. Ralph, I appreciate the call. We're going to get into the Methodist thing because there's this big split going on in the Methodist Church. It's been brewing for apparently years. It's coming to a head right here in Charlotte next week starts the big like multi-day. It's going for like from like the 23rd to like May 3rd or something like that. They got like a whole week of meetings and stuff, and then they're going to be doing like a whole bunch of votes where they're going to be they're going to be basically cave to what the progressives have been doing in defiance, which has been ordaining gay bishops. They've been doing gay marriages in violation of the church's rules. And so now the church is going to change the rules because the conservatives, the traditionalists, have left because the church wasn't enforcing their rules. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer John Mellencamp cut short a concert Sunday in Toledo, Ohio. I spent a week there one day. Anyway, hecklers in the crowd would not stop interrupting him. Here's how it sounded.
Real quiet.
So he's telling a story there, and somebody calls out, "Hey, play some music." Boo, heckler.
What do you think I've been doing? Now, here's the thing, man. You don't know me. You don't know me. Hey, Joe, find this guy and let me see him after the show.
Guys,
stop this show right now and just go home. Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. Here we go. A little ditty.
There you go. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, 70-something-year-old John Mellencamp, not used to getting heckled in such an intimate environment, which, by the way, that's, you know, you're in an intimate environment. That's what happens when you're not playing songs and you're telling stories about Joe Biden. Just shut up and play, man. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.